Victoria's agriculture minister was doing the rounds on Monday, saying the state has an opportunity to lure more international trophy hunters to the regions. Peter Walsh made the comments on Monday when releasing a report that valued hunting at over or more than $400 million to the state economy. And he was also announcing the fact that $17 million will be used to fund game management in the state over the next 4 years. So what do we think? Is it a good idea to encourage more hunting tourists in Victoria, or for that matter, Australia? John Mumford readily makes the 12-hour drive from his home in the Blue Mountains to Victoria's high country just so he can hunt deer. In fact, he's did exactly that, 24-hour round trip on the weekend just passed. John's also the president of the New South Wales branch of the Australian Deer Association. John, welcome to Bush Telegraph.
Good morning, mate. How are we?
Good. What's so good about hunting in Victoria?
Look, what is so brilliant about hunting in Victoria, it's a state where pretty much a lot of things come together. You've got probably Australia's premier game animal, Sambar deer, in your high country. You've got very good access to your public land. You've got legislation, your hunting regulations, Farms Act and so forth, linking very well together. And pretty much it's the gold standard for public land hunting in Australia.
What public land can you access in Victoria that you can't in other states?
We can certainly access national parks in Victoria that you can't in any other state that I'm aware of. A little bit, maybe some limited access up in the Northern Territory, but certainly you can't access them in New South Wales to hunt. We can hunt on our state forests up here, but there's nothing like the alpine country in Victoria when it comes to getting out on foot and hunting deer. There's no other place like it in Australia.
What makes Sambar deer the premier animal to hunt, as you put it?
They are quite a wary animal. I think they evolved with tigers as their top-line predator. They are extremely difficult to get onto. Takes a lot of skill, a lot of patience, a lot of practice, a lot of understanding of the animal. And when you do manage to get hold of one, they're very tasty at the other end of it as well.
So did you shoot one on the weekend?
No, I didn't get one on the weekend. But I have shot a lot of Sambar deer over the years. And I wasn't lucky enough to get onto one on the weekend, but some of the other fellows did though.
So you made a 24-hour round trip and you came up empty-handed?
Yeah, not uncommon either.
Yeah.
I've been hunting in Victoria for probably 25 years, and I've done that trip I don't know how many times. Sometimes we would do it for maybe two weekends a month, back before I was married and before we had kids, because they tend to be a bit of a restrictor on your finances. But no, it's not uncommon to go down there. But really, it's taking an animal isn't the whole reason you go hunting. It's the experience of hunting, it's the camping in the high country, the whole bundle, really. And even though other guys in camp got deer, so we all come home with some venison anyway because we share it out amongst ourselves.
Mm.
So it was well and truly worth the trip.
So how many of you were there?
There were probably about 30 in the camp that I was in, because it was an organised hunt from Sydney Branch, the Australian Deer Association. We organised to go down. But I know of two other clubs, hunting clubs in Sydney, that had group hunts down in Victoria on that weekend as well. So probably from the Sydney area that I know of, there would have been probably about 80 hunters went to Victoria to hunt for the long weekend.
So would you know if most of Victoria's hunters come from interstate or if they're from within Victoria itself?
No, look, I think there's probably, I don't know, if it's similar to what the stats were up here in New South Wales, you're probably about 10 or 15% come from interstate. And a lot of those people, I mean, I drive down from Sydney, but I know people who drive down from Brisbane. I know guys that have driven down from Townsville to hunt Sambar in Victoria. They just plan a longer trip.
Mm. And so this report that the Victorian state government's released puts the value of hunting to Victoria's economy at $439 million. What do you spend your money on when you're in Victoria?
Well, what we try and do is that obviously we buy fuel while we're down there. You need food while you're up in the bush. What we try and do is make sure that we spend that in Victoria when we go down there, because we're very conscious of the fact that we need to put money back into local economies, especially regional Victoria, same as regional New South Wales. They all struggle. So we go down by Bairnsdale to get down there. We normally stop at in Bairnsdale to buy the food for the weekend in the bush. There's fuel. There's also obviously the four-wheel drive that you're in, firearms, ammunition, hunting gear, coats, tents.
You'd buy most of that back home though, wouldn't you? You wouldn't stock up on that in Victoria, would you?
No, not as a rule, but generally in Victoria what we're spending is fuel, food and just the consumables while we're down there.
What environmental impact do you believe hunters have?
I think they have a positive environmental impact. I don't know much of a negative impact of just camping in the bush and basically walking around with a rifle. I don't see that much of a negative impact. But from the positive side of things, we take a lot of animals out of the bush. Sambar deer in Victoria, for example. But in my home state in New South Wales, I shoot a lot of foxes. I shoot a lot of rabbits, goats, pigs. Pigs are a very popular animal to hunt up here in New South Wales. And all of those animals, whether people like to admit it or not, the best way to control feral animals is that someone has to kill them at some point in time, and hunters do take quite a lot of them.
But how effective would you say recreational hunting is to controlling feral animals?
Just running on my own state here as an example, New South Wales Game Council, the public land hunting on state forests here in New South Wales, after 7 years of that running, Forest Corporation up here had ended all their feral animal control programs with the exception of wild dogs and foxes because as far as they were concerned there was no need to spend money on professional feral animal control when they were getting a free of charge from our licensed hunters, and we were knocking and suppressing the feral populations in those forests significantly. And I know that simply because of the lack of animals to hunt between the first year of hunting on public land up here and now. Used to go to some of the forests out in western New South Wales, you would see mobs of 200-300 goats. You're now out there and you're seeing mobs of 10 to 15.
And so you attribute that to the efforts, if you like, of recreational hunters, clearly.
Well, that was the only effort in there. No one was trapping them, no one was poisoning them, no one else was shooting them. It was purely hunters that were going out there and doing that. And keep in mind that in the 7 years to date, hunted in New South Wales. It's about 770,000 days of hunting, about 9.25 million man hours of hunting. You put that much effort in and, about 1.2 million animals taken off public and private land up here by just the 20,000 licence holders in New South Wales. That's quite an effort and has to have an impact at some point on the populations of feral animals.
Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate your insights and letting us know what actually happens when hunters visit Victoria for a weekend of shooting. John Mumford is the president of the New South Wales branch of the Australian Deer Association. Just spent the last weekend hunting in Victoria. Now, Ewan Ritchie's with me as well. Ewan's a senior lecturer in ecology at Deakin University. Hi, Ewan.
G'day, Cameron. How are you?
Good. What effect what impact do you think hunting has on the control of feral animals?
There's quite a few impacts that it can have. And I think I just want to premise this by saying that none of us are actually against hunting per se, but I think if we're actually putting hunting out there as an idea for having a conservation success, then actually the evidence so far is fairly weak for that. So some of the downsides of hunting are that, of course, in trophy hunting in particular, people often would like to go for large males. And if you want to control, say, a deer population, we know the most successful way to control the deer population is actually shoot females. That'll bring the population down much faster than shooting males. But there's also other unintended consequences. There's plenty of studies now that have been done to show that actually deer populations are being moved from different locations to establish new populations for hunting illegally, as have pig populations. And another important point to also bear in mind is that although shooting lots of feral animals is certainly good in one sense, that you are actually taking them out of the bush, it's probably not actually having a very large effect on their populations because a lot of these animals can reproduce at quite dramatic numbers. So to give an example, fox populations, if you actually want to control them, you probably need to shoot about 70% of that population per year. for rabbits, it's about the same, or if not more. And even for deer, you're talking about over 40%. And hunters, actually want to have animals to hunt. So, of course, you're not actually inclined to want to shoot at that population. So if we're talking about a conservation outcome of hunting, then actually the evidence is fairly poor for that.
But if hunting is combined with other methods, baiting or trapping, whatever they might be, can it be an effective part of the mix?
Absolutely. And I think John made a good comment about goats. I think goats are one of probably the good examples where we can actually go in a strategic fashion and shoot goat populations out quite successfully. But for other species like foxes, feral cats, wild dogs, it's actually very hard to find those animals. They're quite cryptic by nature, and even John alluded to the fact that deer are quite hard to find. They're in very large regions. Some of our national parks are very large, as we know, quite remote, and hunters just simply can't access all those areas. So it's very unlikely, again, that hunters themselves are actually going to have much an impact on those populations, and even pest management agencies themselves struggle to actually get on top of the numbers. So I think there are examples in small-scale, small national parks where things like goats can be controlled, but overall, no.
What damage do deer, Samba deer in particular, what damage do they do to the environment?
Yeah, well, Samba deer are a huge concern, and the evidence is that their populations are increasing quite dramatically, particularly in parts of Victoria. And one of the biggest impacts, of course, is that they kill trees. They ringbark trees, so they rub up against trees, and that causes the death of those trees. They also, of course, browse on those plants, and that, of course, removes that vegetation. And if there's too many deer, then that can cause the loss of that vegetation from an area. And they also break down stream beds and banks by just basically trampling them and causing increased erosion. So there's a whole range of impacts that they have.
What's their status?
In what sense?
Are they seen as feral animals, or do they have any level of protection?
Well, deer are a little bit different to a lot of other feral species. So deer are actually afforded protection, and you actually need a license to go and shoot deer, including on private property, whereas for other feral animals, that's not the case. So they're a bit of a different one compared to many other feral animals.
Why do you think they have that unique treatment?
Look, that wouldn't be for me to answer that question. That's more of a political issue, and that would be probably better to ask John that one.
But would it be unreasonable to suggest that because there's a hunting industry, they have a level of protection?
Look, they're clearly highly valued by the deer industry, and perhaps, you know, that may be a reason, but I certainly wouldn't want to comment on that.
Okay, thanks, Ewan. Appreciate your thoughts. Ewan Ritchie, ecologist with Deakin University. We're discussing hunting and what its value is, what its true value is. The Victorian government released a report earlier this weekend, and in that report it said hunting is worth $439 million to the Victorian economy. It said the activity of 46,000 licensed game hunters supports 3,500 Victorian jobs. And when this report came out, the State Agriculture, Peter Walsh, made the announcement that $17 million will be used to fund game management over the next 4 years. And at the same time, he made some comments around the opportunity to attract more international trophy hunters to the state. Now, Maria Mercurio is with me, the Chief Executive of the RSPCA in Victoria. Hi, Maria.
Good morning.
What do you think of recreational hunting?
Well, the RSPCA has a very firm and strong and clear position against recreational hunting. It certainly does not put animal welfare as one of the guiding principles. The point of recreational hunting is just that. It's recreation. It's considered to be a sport. The problem is that there's lots of potential for leaving animals suffering and maimed. We know that that's the case. We see it every year, for example, with duck hunting. We know that even endangered species are left half-dead, are left suffering. While we're told all the time, repeatedly by the government, that there are strict regulations, that they're enforced, that they're policed, they're not. Many hunters are very skilled and they do the right thing, but equally many are not, and they leave animals maimed and suffering.
Is it any worse than, say, the recreational fishing industry in that sense?
Well, I think that's another industry that needs to be looked at, but we haven't got a position against recreational fishing, although there's a lot of research currently being done that also indicates that fish do feel pain, and that's relatively new research. So I think we need to put fishing into a different category. It needs further thinking and further research and further discussion.
Because of the nature of the fish?
Well, yes, indeed, and because of the nature of the information that we've had at our disposal up until now.
The Victorian government's report this week, with some fairly hefty figures in it, $439 million to the economy and 3,500 jobs, what do you make of those figures?
Well, I think we need to look behind those figures. Of the $439 million, I think $150 million of it stems from vehicle expenses and fuel expenses. You know, those expenses could easily be transferred to other industries, for example, environmental recreational activities. So there are lots of industries and there are lots of activities that would create economic activity and jobs. It doesn't mean that they're ethical, and it doesn't mean that they should be pursued by any government.
So how do you feel about the Agriculture Minister's comments this week? Now, he didn't appear to directly be using this report to promote tourism, but he certainly made the link between the opportunities for tourism and the value in the report. What did you make of those comments?
Well, I think they came from a minister who has repeatedly put animal welfare at the bottom of his priority list. We have a state government that continues to overlook animal welfare in its priority list, so it's not surprising. It's not surprising that they're using this as a way of attracting activity into Victoria. We've seen it before. We see it with duck hunting. We see it with jumps racing. All of these activities that pay little attention to the animal welfare outcomes and pay maximum attention to what they see as the economic outcomes. It's not surprising at all.
It certainly started a debate, if nothing else. Maria Mercurio, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Maria's Chief Executive of the RSPCA in Victoria. I'll just give you the direct quotes from ABC News from Peter Walsh here. He said, "There is an opportunity for overseas trophy hunters, small in number but high in value, to come here and do a trophy hunt if they want to. New Zealand captures a significant part of that market at the moment, and there is an opportunity in Victoria." So if you read that as promoting the region as a tourist destination for hunters, what do you make of it? Should Australia's tourism sector be promoting hunting, doing more of it? Daniel Geschwind is the Chief Executive at the Queensland Tourism Industry Council, and let's find out what he makes of it. Daniel, thank you for joining the program.
Good morning, Cameron.
Has there been a push for hunting tourism in Australia in the past?
Look, occasionally the topic comes up. It has come up even in the context of culling some crocodiles in the north a few years ago. But as a general proposition, I'm not aware of it having been pushed in any significant way by the industry, certainly not in Queensland. And to my best of my knowledge, the Queensland government also does not see this as a priority. And in fact, 2 years ago, the Queensland Environment Minister ruled out safari hunting as an option in Queensland.
But if it's worth as much as the Victorian State Government says, why not promote it?
Well, look, I mean, shooting and recreational shooting is obviously going on outside of the tourism context. We do know that people shoot feral animals on private land quite legitimately, and there's also some feral animal control that the government is involved in, and commercial shooters are involved in that. So there's obviously economic activity attached and associated with that, and also very good and positive environmental outcomes, hopefully, from this. But that doesn't mean that income has to be derived or driven or grown through the tourism angle. And in fact, there is obviously considerations that have to be given to the perception. You know, we're promoting our destinations in Queensland and probably generally in Australia as environmentally sensitive and ecotourism based and nature based, and those images and the perceptions of us as managers of our environment may, to some extent at least, conflict with the notion of having shooting parties raiding our forests for even feral animals.
So it just becomes too hard to balance the competing areas of the tourism market, does it?
It certainly would be a very significant consideration for us. I mean, these issues do attract controversy, and we are a perception-based industry, and we want to avoid those kinds of controversies. We have seen a few years ago when feral brumbies were being culled by the government that caused a huge uproar where people just did not want to see that practice used in the context of these animals, no matter how defensible it was from an environmental management point of view. The controversy of that was certainly not a positive thing.
But is it, Brumbies, clearly there's a large portion of the country that have an emotional connection to Brumbies, and something like the crocodile is a real symbol of the top end of Australia or the northern parts of Australia. Is it fair to compare the public response to shooting those animals with, say, hunting of feral species, be it deer or be it foxes?
Look, maybe not. I mean, it's not for me to judge, but the public charges these things, and you heard from the RSPCA just a minute ago about what they would make of it. So we have to take this into consideration. I mean, perceptions are real for us, and we do have to deal with it. And you know, the effectiveness from a feral animal control is also an issue that I'm not an expert in. That would have to be assessed very solidly and very thoroughly.
But if we talk about crocodile control for a moment, places like Queensland and the Territory, your tourism campaigns suffer whenever someone is attacked or whenever there is a croc attack in the area. Couldn't there
look,
be...
let me say, a croc attack is obviously extremely regrettable and something that we want to avoid at all costs by informing people who live there, people who visit there, how to interact with the wildlife and how to stay away from them, more importantly in this case. But the attention, I mean, sad as it may be, the attention that a croc attack brings on the destination is, I hate to say this, but is not always adverse. I mean, in other words, people sort of find it somewhat fascinating, perhaps ghoulishly, but they find it fascinating, and it's not always a detraction from the destination.
Are there figures or research that backs that up, or is that just your sense after many years working in the industry?
There is that. Look, the figures are really just the overall visitor numbers, and there certainly would be impossible to discern any impact on those overall figures from any of those attacks, whether that's a shark attack or another animal attack or a snake bite or anything like that. I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that visitor numbers have suffered as a result of that. That doesn't make the event any less tragic, it's very difficult to establish a connection between the two.
So, last one for you, Daniel. Years in the industry, mm-hmm. If you were to promote the hunting as a tourism venture in somewhere like Victoria, how would you do it? What would you play up? What benefits would you focus on?
Well, I suppose you would, if you were to promote it, let me say, you would have to promote the landscape, the probability that you were able to bag an animal, as it were, and I guess the safety of the environment that we can operate in, that our industry generally operates in. So that's probably where you would go, and it would be a real niche market, I'd have to say. I think globally, you know, hunting, I don't think is on the rise. I may be wrong on that, but I think it'd be a real niche market. And as I said, you want to make sure by promoting that niche market, you're not adversely affecting the rest of your tourism market.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts, Daniel. Appreciate it.
No worries, Cameron. Very good.
Daniel Gershwin from the Queensland Tourism Industry Council. He's the chief executive. A few of your thoughts are coming in on our Facebook page at the moment. So we've put this up. We've put up the question, how do you feel about hunting tourism, given that Victoria is going to spend nearly $18 million on the hunting industry over the next 4 years? Matt says, good for pest management. The only issue is safety, without knowing if hunters would operate in the same areas as bushwalkers. So clearly concerned there. Mark points out, I am strongly in favour, but only if it follows the tried and tested models from countries where the hunts are tightly controlled. He goes on to have more to say. Mark also points out that he'd be looking very carefully into the claim of the tourism revenue, not convinced by the figures that Victoria have put out by the sound of things. And Fabio says, so what happens when an animal is injured but not killed immediately and flees? Not very humane, is it? There's just some of the comments that are coming in on our Facebook page now. If you'd like to leave your thoughts, head there, facebook.com/bushtelegraph or at rnbushtelly is our Twitter handle if you prefer the shorter mode of communication, and we'll keep an eye over them throughout the afternoon.